Shanatova. We welcome everyone to the afternoon service. The service is going to begin on page 394. And before the start of the service, I wanted to share with everyone that Rabbi Rappaport is not here this afternoon. Her father is in hospice, and so our hearts are very much with her, and she's gone to be with her mother and to support her family. And we are all thinking of them and hold them very much in our prayers. At this hour, Israel stands before its God. In our prayers and our hope, we are one with the Jewish community on earth. This people you have formed still lives to tell your praise. Today we say to our children, see this sublime design which was revealed at the very beginning and which from age to age is realized. See this people few in number in the world unknown, declaring at the beginning of its history what will be its history. See this people choose the mission which chooses it in the way it has foretold. See this people. This people you have formed still lives to tell your praise. To our friends we say, see this people, exiled twice and twice surviving, teaching in its first exile the unity of God, and its second, the oneness of humankind. Know this people. This people lives to tell God's praise, men's hopes, women's dreams. Congregation Israel, can you not see an eternal presence abiding with your people? Can you not see in your past a story told for all peoples, whose shining conclusion is yet to unfold? This people lives when it lives with God's praise. At this hour, Israel stands before its God. In our prayers and our hope, we are one with all Jews on earth. We look into each other's faces, and we know who we are. We look up to our God, and we know it is us. We look into each other's faces, and we know who we are. We look up to our God, and we know His energy is kind. We continue on page 398. Batem divakim ba'aronai ohechem, chayim kulchem hayom. You who hold fast to the eternal your God have found life, all of you, this day. For those who are able, please rise.
Adonai sifatai tiptach, Ufiyagi tehilatecha, eternal God, open my lips that my mouth may declare your glory.
Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu ve'ohei avotenu, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov. Ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibur v'hanora, El Elyon, Gomel Hasadim Tovim, Vikone Hakol, Vizocher Haste Avot, Umevi Gua Livne Venehem, Lama'an Shemo Biahava. God of the past and future, God of this day, God of Israel and all the world, we know you, yet cannot name you. With our halting human speech, we say God. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, God of Sarah and Rebecca, God of Rachel and Leah, God of freedom and justice and mercy, God of understanding, you are the rule by which we measure ourselves. You are of the voice we hear within us.
You are the majestic one who delights in life. Inscribe us for blessing in the book of life.
Lemancha, 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 Elohim chayim. Lemancha, 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 Elohim. Lemancha Elohim Chaim. Lemancha, lemancha, lemancha Elohim Chaim. Melech Ozer Moshiach Umagen. Baruch Atah Adonai Magen Avraham.
We read together on 399. We pray that we might know before whom we stand, the power whose gift is life, who quickens those who have forgotten how to live. We pray for winds to disperse the choking air of sadness, for cleansing rains to mark parched hope's flower, and to give all of us the strength to rise up toward the sun. We pray for love to encompass us for no other reason save that we are human, that we may all blossom into persons who have gained power over our own lives. We pray to stand upright, we've fallen, to be healed, we sufferers. We pray to break the bonds that keep us from the world of beauty. We pray for opened eyes, we who are blind to our authentic selves. We pray that we may walk in the garden of a purposeful life, our own powers touched with the powers of the world. Praise be the God whose gift is life, whose cleansing rains let parched men and women flower towards the sun. God of holiness, let your glory be with us always, as a holy light illuminating for us the paths of righteousness. For you are holy, your name is holy, and the eyes who strive to be holy declare your glory day by day. Blessed is the Lord who rules in holiness. Please be seated. We continue on page 404. Al chet shechatanu lefanecha. We have sinned against life by failing to work for peace.
We have sinned against life by keeping silent in the face of injustice.
Al chet shechatanu lefanecha. We have sinned against life by ignoring those who suffer in distant lands.
We have sinned against life by forgetting the poor in our own midst.
Al chet shechatanu lefanecha. We have failed to respect those made in the image of God.
We have withheld our love from those who depend on us.
Al chet shechatanu lefanecha. We have engaged in gossip and repeated slander.
We have distorted the truth for our own advantage.
We have conformed to fashion and not to conscience.
We have indulged in despair and trafficked with cynics.
We have given meager support to our houses of study.
We have neglected our heritage of learning.
We have sinned against ourselves and paid scant heed to the life of the Spirit.
We have sinned against ourselves and have not risen to fulfill the best that is in us.
For all these sins, O God of mercy, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement. Page 406. Let me hear you, Eternal One, when I hear my spirit soaring in prayer. I sing because I love, not afraid to waste my sweetness upon the void, but reflecting in my soul's flight the universal God who sings through me. O God of Israel's past, God of this day, God of all flesh, Creator of all life, we praise you, the Most High, for the gift of life. We give thanks, O source of life, that life endures. Eternal and infinite God, help us to use our life for blessing, to live by your law, to do your will, to walk in your way with a whole heart. We praise you, eternal God, for the blessing of life. O source of peace, lead us to peace, a peace profound and true. Lead us to a healing, to mastery of all that drives us to war within ourselves and with others. May our deeds inscribe us in the book of life and blessing, righteousness and peace. O source of peace, bless us with peace. We continue now with Misha Berach. We hold in our hearts all of our dear ones in need of healing. Misha Berach, Imotenu v'Avotenu, our God and God of our mothers and fathers, God of Sarah and Abraham, Rebekah and Isaac, Leah, Rachel, and Jacob, as you've been with our ancestors, with all who are in need of your healing, send them refuat hanefesh and refuat haguf, healing of body, mind, and spirit. Eternal God, may the light of your presence be with those who have had surgery, especially who have had surgery today, to all who are confronting illness and disease, for those who we pray for, and for those whose lives are nearing towards an end, that they may have your comfort and your warmth. Eternal God, may your presence be with them. Sustain their dear ones. May they feel your goodness and love, and guide all who care for them to have skilled hands and understanding hearts. Baruch atah Adonai, Rofe HaCholim. Blessed are you, O God, who sends strength and healing to the ill. Pause for a few moments for our own thoughts and our own prayers.
Shalom, shalom, Bimroma,
We continue with the Great Elenu. I'd like to invite Dennis McLaughlin and Judy Braun to come to open the ark. For those who are able, please rise.
Seated.
Beginning on page 410, there's a section called From Creation to Redemption, telling the story of the creation of the world through until the coming of an era of universal peace. In the Orthodox prayer book, the way that the story is told is we go from the creation of the world to the fall of the temple, the first temple, then the second temple, and then the people in exile until eventually the Messiah will come. In the new Mishkan HaNefesh prayer book, this section of the service has a focus on ethical virtues, 15 virtues, traveling through as a way of reflection in our relationships with others and with the world. In this prayer book, the service moves from the creation of the world to the fall of the temple, and then traces Jewish history through times of persecution, during the Crusades, to the Shoah with a passage from Leo Beck and the Partisan Song, and then the rebirth of Israel and prayers for peace for all of humanity. In classical Reform Judaism, it was prayers for a messianic age, for those like myself who spent time growing up in the classical era of the Reform movement. This section ended with, "All the world shall come to serve thee." It still carries a warm place in my heart. We continue with the Torah service on page 450. When we rise, I'd like to invite Jay Copeland and Shulia Budoff and Paul Strasberg to come to open the ark. I'd like to invite Rebecca Copeland, Bob Budoff, Neil Seiden, and Stephanie Vichness to carry the Torah scrolls. It shall come to pass in the fullness of time that the mountain of the eternal God's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Then many shall say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, to the house of the God of Jacob." And they shall say, "Teach us your ways, that we may walk in your paths." For those who are able, please rise.
In kamocha v'Elohim Adonai, in kemaseha, malchutecha, Adonai Melech, Adonai.
Beit Yaakov, Uchuvan Elcha, Be'or Adonai, O house of Jacob, come let us walk by the light of the eternal God.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Echad Eloheinu, Gadol Adoneinu, Kadosh V'nora Shemo. Lecha Adonai Agedula Tiferet V'hanetzach V'ahod Ki chol b'shamayim V'aretz Ki chol b'shamayim V'aretz Lecha Adonai Amamlacha Ve'amit Naaseh Lechol Erosh Romemu Adonai Eloheinu Ve'ishtachavu Le'har Kodesho
Hallelujah.
Please be seated. This afternoon, we're reading the Holiness Code, Leviticus chapter 19. And I'd like to invite Janet Christensen to do the Torah blessings. This is a most amazing Torah portion. Talks about holiness, and it talks about the many dimensions of holiness, that holiness is much more than ritual practice, but it is the way we lead our lives. It's the way that we help those in need, the way that we honor our families, the way that we're ethical in business practice. This is the Torah scroll that the congregation has as the Holocaust Torah. Just to give a little background, which I'm sure many of you know, that during World War II, at the start of the war, there were 600 objects in the Jewish Museum in Prague. And as the Nazis went through Central Europe, destroying homes and synagogues, then Jewish ritual objects, candlesticks, menorahs, haftalah sets, were collected by the Nazis along with Torah scrolls. By the end of the war, there were 100,000 objects in the museum in Prague. There are different accounts whether the Nazis initiated this or the Jewish community encouraged them to do it. At the Smithsonian Institution, there was an exhibition called Precious Legacy, and that was an exhibit of some of these objects. After communism fell, the objects were returned to the Jewish community. A little over 50 years ago, there was an American who was living in England and who learned about the Torah scrolls that were there and arranged for the purchase of 1,564 of the scrolls. They were brought to the Westminster Synagogue in England and distributed to communities around the world. And this is a magnificent scroll that has been restored to being a kosher scroll. Myself, I think of these Torahs to be a remembrance Torah. The idea being from when I traveled to Poland after studying with Yad Vashem, that there was a rich Jewish experience in Central Europe and in Poland for 1,000 years before the Second World War. And as we read this scroll, we read it in remembrance of those communities. And based on the teachings of Dr. Eric Ray, who is the sofer I learned with, I can tell by the way this scroll is stitched together that it's over 250 years old. So we pay tribute to the legacy of those communities as we read from this scroll this morning, this afternoon.
Baruch et Adonai Hamborach.
Baruch Adonai Hamborach Leolam Ba'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamborach Leolam Ba'ed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. Benatan Lanu et Torato. Baruch Ata Adonai Notein HaTorah.
Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe l'amor. And the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, Daber el kol adat b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem, kodeshim tihyu, ki kadosh ani Adonai Eloheichem. And spoke to all of the community of the children of Israel and said, You shall be holy, for I, the Eternal, your God, am holy. Ishimo v'aviv tira'u. A person shall revere their mother and father. Ved shabtotai tishmaru, and preserve my Sabbaths. Ani Adonai Eloheichem, I, the Eternal, am your God. Al tifnu el ha'elelim, v'elohei masecha lo ta'asuachem, ani Adonai Eloheichem. You shall not turn to idolatrous gods, and the molten ones you shall not make. I, the Eternal, am your God.
uvekutzrachem et kitzir artzachem. Lo tichalet peat sadcha liksor, veleket kirtzicha lo tilaket, vecharmecha lo te'olel, uferet karmecha lo tilaket. And when you harvest the harvest of your land, you shall not collect in the ends of the fields as a harvest. The gleanings, you shall not harvest them. And in your vineyards, that which is left over, you shall not bring in. And that which falls, you shall not. Va'oniv la'ger ta'azovatam. For the poor and the stranger, you shall leave them. Ani Adonai Elohechem, I, the Eternal, am your God. Lo tignovu, v'lo tichachashu, v'lo tishakru, ish ba'amito. You shall not steal, you shall not deal deceitfully. A person shall not lie amongst his people. V'lo tishavu v'shmi l'shaker, v'chilalta et shem Elohecha, ani Adonai. And do a false oath by my name and lie, and this brings a curse on the name of your God. I am the Eternal. Lo ta'ashok et re'echa v'lo tigzol. Lo talin polat sachir itcha ad boker. You shall not be unjust or deceitful with your neighbor, and you shall not rob. You shall not withhold the wages of a hired worker until the morning. Lo tikolel cheresh, v'lifnei ever, lo titen mechshol, v'reta me'ohecha, ani Adonai. You shall not curse the deaf or place a stumbling block before the blind. You shall be in awe of your God. I am the Eternal. Lo ta'asu evil b'mishpat, lo tisa p'nei dal, v'lo tehadar p'nei gadol, b'serik tishpot amitecha. You shall not do injustice with the laws. You shall not raise up the countenance of one who is downtrodden. You shall not glorify the countenance of one who is great. With righteousness you shall judge my people. Lo telech rachil ba'amecha. You shall not go as a talebearer amongst your people. Lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. You shall not stand on the blood of your neighbor. Ani Adonai, I am the Eternal. Lo tisna et achicha bilvabecha, hochiach tochiach et amitecha, lo tisa alav chet. You shall not hate another in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and shall not raise up sin on account of him. Lo takum v'lo titor et b'nei amecha. You shall not seek revenge or bear a grudge amongst the children of your people. Vahavta l'recha kamocha, ani Adonai. And so you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Eternal. Mipnei sheva takum. You shall rise before those who are old. Vahadarta p'nei zakein. And you shall glorify the countenance of the elderly. V'yireta me'ohecha ani Adonai. You shall be in awe of the Eternal. I am your God. V'ki yagur itcha ger ba'artzachem. Lo tonu oto. And when a stranger resides in your land, you shall not oppress him. Kezrach mikem yielochem. He shall be like a citizen among you. Hager hagor itchem. The stranger that dwells among you. Vahavta lo kamocha, and you shall love him as yourself. Ki garim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, ani Adonai Elohechem, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt, I, the Eternal, am your God. Lo ta'asu evil b'mishpat mida b'miksho u'vmesora. Ba'osnei tzedek, avnei tzedek, eifat tzedek, v'hin tzedek, yelechem, ani Adonai Elohecham. You shall not do deceitfully in justice with a fair midah, a fair measure, a fair accounting, a fair objects with a with a stone of righteousness, with stones of righteousness, with an ephod of righteousness, with a keen of righteousness. There you shall have, I, the Eternal, am your God, asher hotzi tirchem eretz Mitzrayim, that brought you out of the land of Egypt, ushmartem et kol chukotai, and you guard and preserve all of my laws, vet kol mishpotai, and all of my ordinances, Vasitem otam, ani Adonai, and you shall do them. I am the Eternal.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torat emet, v'chayei olam nata b'tocheinu. Baruch ata Adonai, noten haTorah.
Amen. I'd like to invite Cal and Suzanne Witter to come for the raising and dressing of the Torah. For those who are able, please rise.
Bezot haTorah asher samoshe livnei b'nei Peyat Moshe Torah, 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 Tzira Anu Moshe
Torah, 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 Tzira Anu Moshe Torah, Torah, Moshe, Torah, 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 Sivah,
Moshe.
Please be seated. We continue now with the Haftorah. I'd like to invite Alex Eichel, who would be doing the Haftorah blessings, Joan Dolberg and Brad Stein and Rick and Marty to come for the reading of the Haftorah.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar b'nevi'im tovim v'ratzah v'divreihem ha'ne'emarim be'emet. Baruch atah Adonai habocher b'torah Uv Moshe avto, uv Yisrael amo, uv invi'ei ha'emet v'tzedek.
The word of the Eternal came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim judgment upon it, for their wickedness had come up before me. Jonah started out, however, to flee to Tarshish from the service of the Eternal, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went aboard to sail with the others to Tarshish, away from the service of the Eternal. But the Eternal cast a mighty wind upon the sea, and such a tempest came upon the sea that the ship was in danger of breaking up. In their fright, the sailors cried out to each his own god, and they flung the cargo overboard to make the ship lighter. Meanwhile, Jonah was gone into the hold of the vessel, where he laid down and fell asleep. The captain went over to him and cried out, "How can you be sleeping so soundly? Up, call upon your God. Perhaps the God will be kind to us, and we will not perish."
The men said to one another, "Let us cast lots and find out on whose account this misfortune has come upon us." They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. They said to him, "Tell us, you who have brought this misfortune upon us, what is your business? Where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" "I am a Hebrew," he replied. "I worship the Eternal, the God of heaven, who made both sea and land." The men were greatly terrified, and they asked him, "What have you done?" And when the men learned that he was fleeing from the service of the Eternal, for so he told them, they said to him, "What must we do to you to make the sea calm around us?" For the sea was growing more and more stormy. He answered, "Heave me overboard, for I know that this terrible storm came upon you on my account." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to regain the shore, but they could not, for the sea was growing more and more stormy around them. Before throwing him overboard, they cried out to the Eternal, "Please do not let us perish on account of this man. Do not compel us to kill an innocent person. For you, O Eternal, by your will, have brought this about." And they heaved Jonah overboard, and the sea stopped raging. The men were greatly in awe of the Eternal. They offered a sacrifice to the Eternal, and they made vows. The Eternal provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah remained in the fish's belly 3 days and three nights. Then the Eternal commanded the fish to spew Jonah out upon dry land.
The word of the Eternal came to Jonah a second time. "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it what I tell you." Jonah went at once to Nineveh in accordance with the command of the Eternal. Nineveh was an enormously large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah started out and made his way into the city, the distance of 1 day's walk, and proclaimed, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." The people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and all alike put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his robe, put on sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he had the word cried through Nineveh, "By decree of the king and his nobles, neither man nor beast shall taste anything. They shall not graze, and they shall not drink water. They shall be covered with sackcloth and shall cry mightily to God. Let all turn back from their evil ways and from the injustice of which they are guilty. Who knows, but God may turn back and relent so that we do not perish." God saw what they did and how they were turning back from their evil ways, and God renounced the punishment planned for them and did not carry it out.
This displeased Jonah greatly, and he was grieved. He prayed to the Eternal, saying, "Eternal One, isn't it just what I said when I was still in my own country? This is why I fled beforehand to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a compassionate and gracious God, endlessly patient, abounding in love, renouncing punishment. Take my life then, for I would rather die than live to see this." The Eternal One replied, "Are you deeply grieved?" Now Jonah had left the city and found a place east of the city. He made a booth there and sat under it in the shade until he should see what happened to the city. The Eternal God provided a gourd which grew up over Jonah to provide shade for his head and save him from discomfort. Jonah was very happy about the plant. But the next day at dawn, God provided a worm, which attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a sultry east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head, and he became faint. He begged for death, saying, "I would rather die than live." Then God said to Jonah, "Are you so deeply grieved about the plant?" "Yes," he replied, "so deeply that I want to die." Then the Eternal said, "You care about the plant, yet you did not work on it nor cultivate it. It appeared overnight and perished overnight. And should I not care about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not yet know their right hand from their left, and many beasts as well?"
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, tzor kol haolamim, tzadik b'chol hadorot, ha'el ha'ne'eman ha'omer v'oseh, ha'mdaber u'mkayim, shekol divarav emet v'tzedech, al ha'torah v'al ha'avodah v'al hanbim, v'al yom ha'kippurim hazeh, shenatata lanu Adonai Eloheinu, limhila v'lislicha u'chaparah, l'chavod u'tifaret. Al ha'kol Adonai Eloheinu, anachnu modim lach, umvarchim otach, yitbarach shimcha, befi kol chai tamid le'olam va'ed, udvarcha emet v'kayam la'ad. Baruch atah Adonai, melech mochel v'solech lavonoteinu, v'lavonot amo beit Yisrael, u'ma'avir ashmoteinu, bechol shana v'shana. Melech mochel, melech olcha ha'aretz, mekadesh Yisrael v'yom ha'kippurim.
Amen. We continue with Returning to the Torah, to the Ark, on page 468. For those who are able, please rise. Dwell, O Eternal One, among your people. Let your spirit abide within your house.
Let everything be acknowledge the splendor of your kingdom and its glory.
O Dolores
V'Shamayim, Ayarem Kerem Amo, Tehila Lecho, Asida, Livne
Israel, Amkirovo, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Behold, a good doctrine has been given you, my Torah. Do not forsake it. It is a tree of life to those who hold it fast, and all cling to it find happiness. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace.
Thank you.
Please be seated.
And I want to thank Jeff Sands and Clem Simpson for returning the Torah to the Ark and opening the Ark. A black and white movie becomes a color film. The terror of Europe in World War II shifts to a brilliant day at a cemetery in Israel. There's a blue sky, and the graves are reflecting the sunlight with the soft white of a Jerusalem stone. Slowly they come, the survivors and their descendants, young and old together, each to place a pebble or a small rock on just one grave, the monument for Oskar Schindler. Schindler, the member of the Nazi Party who came to Krakow to become rich, was transformed from a profiteer to one of the righteous who saved close to 850 Jews. Who is recognized by Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Memorial in Israel, as one of the righteous among the nations, an honor given to those who saved the lives of Jews during World War II. Every photograph that one sees of the grave of Oskar Schindler has a multitude of small stones, each a symbol of remembrance, a symbol of a visit, and a symbol of gratitude. This afternoon, as we prepare to recall our dear ones during the Yisker Memorial Service, this is the image of a small stone on a monument. It becomes especially important. In many communities, there's the tradition to place the stone either on a headstone or on a footstone at the bottom of the grave whenever one goes to visit a loved one. In cemeteries and places as diverse as San Antonio, Texas, in California, in Baltimore, Maryland, I've seen urns filled with small stones to place on a monument to honor dear ones who have passed away. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the tradition, there's no need to feel guilt. It's a tradition, and it's an opportunity to learn another thing about our heritage. There are many explanations for the stones, some connected to biblical times, when a pile of stones was set over the grave of a dear one to make sure the body was protected from everything that could happen in nature. There's a superstition that the stones keep the soul of the deceased from wandering after the body is laid to rest. The stories of Yiddish writers and the plays in the Yiddish theater, thinking of the Dybbuk, would often use this mythology as a motif. Another rabbi links the tradition to the mitzvah, the sacred deed, of matzeva. Each mourner coming and adding the stone was effectively taking part in the mitzvah of matzeva, setting the stone, as well as leviat tamet, accompanying the dead for burial. To give the tradition meaning, I've known people who would take a stone from their garden or the garden of their loved ones, and bring it and place it as a remembrance on the grave. As I've spoken about during the High Holy Days, there's the practice of setting a kavanah, an intention. And when we do this, it becomes more than a stone or just a rote ritual act, but we invest that stone with meaning. The hallmark of Temple B'nai Shalom is for each ritual, for every ritual, to be personal, to be meaningful. Imagery from Jewish tradition can guide us as we think about the many different ways that a simple stone can reflect relationships with our dear ones. A first insight comes from the book of Exodus. In chapter 20, God gives the Ten Commandments, thunder, lightning, special effects. Immediately after the Esar HaDibrot, this is what God says: make me an altar of earth and sacrifice on it your sacrifices of well-being. In every place where I cause my name to be mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. And if you make for me an altar of stones, do not build it with hewn stones. For by wielding your tool, your sword, in some translations, you have profaned them. What a powerful idea. By using metal, an implement for taking life, that we in some way profane the altar. Rashi says that the purpose of the altar is to lengthen our days, and that a weapon shortens the days. He adds this interesting thought that it represents those who make peace between people, between spouses, family members, between friends, lengthening our days. That the stone altar is a symbol of the ideals that we've learned, a symbol of what we learned lengthens our days. The altar can make us think about the sanctity of life. We can think of the many ways our dear ones were peacemakers and brought to compassion to the world. A parent, a spouse, a friend who inspired us with their wisdom and kindness. Through the years, during this season, I'll look back, I'll think back about eulogies that I've shared or that I've heard people share, and the way that the different tributes have been so inspiring. Over 15 years ago, I remember a son's words at his mother's funeral. It's on the Upper West Side in New York. He said, "When we were growing up, if it was a choice between going to bed and getting a B or staying up all night and getting an A, my mother always wanted me to go to bed. My mother taught us how to have perspective in our lives." I remember one of the first women who was one of the top executives at the URJ. She worked with interreligious affairs. It was then the UAHC. And she was an advocate, a fierce advocate, for full equality for women. And it was then a totally male-dominated world. At her memorial service, some of the friends said that whenever that they would have services at the House of Living Judaism, as it was called at that time, wherever the prayer book said Lord, she would say God. Everything was about belief for her. Love inspires love. I officiated at the funeral for a dear friend who is an optometrist. I was at his bedside with his family just before he died. In a weak voice, he kept saying something, and we couldn't make out what it was, his wife, his daughter, and I. And finally, we realized he was saying, "Pray for me." We offered a prayer, and within the next hour, he passed away, very gently. At his funeral, I said, "Our friend was not just a doctor. When you went to visit, first he checked your eyes, and then he examined your soul." His deep connection inspired us to care for others, to be the best selves that we could be. Another vision of the simple stone comes from Rabbi Akiva, who is the greatest sage of his generation. And a story is told about his beginnings. It says, at the age of 40, he hadn't studied. In fact, he did everything to scorn, to ridicule scholars. One time he was standing by the mouth of a well, and he said, "Who hollowed out the stone of the well? How did the well get here, and how does the water run through it?" They said, "Akiva, haven't you learned, haven't you read, water wears away stone?" It was the water falling constantly, day by day, that split that stone. Rabbi Akiva asked himself, "Is my heart harder than the stone? I'll go and study one section of the Torah." He went to the schoolhouse, he and his son, and began reading from the children's tablet. Akiva took one end, his son the other. Aleph, Bet. He learned the Aleph Bet, then the book of Leviticus. He became the greatest scholar of his age. This was a pivotal moment for Akiva, Rabbi Akiva. It reminds us of the people that we know, that we've known, who have made changes in their lives with small steps, one at a time, drop after drop. Inspirational people that have overcome obstacles. I think of students that I've known who have learning disabilities. Each example, I have a specific person in mind. They've gone on to excel. Those whose lives reached bottom because of addiction and found the path to recovery. And people with physical disabilities are unstoppable. Reading the news in the world, we see that there's so much that goes on. So much, so many times when people can't overcome their circumstance. But we think too of the inspiration of the people we meet and know how drop by drop, step by step, they remind us to grow and our responsibilities in the world. Third image of the stone is in the Ten Commandments. As I've talked about during the day, that we think of the Ten Commandments, you know, the great scene of Moses walking down with the two tablets. Some say the three tablets. I dropped one. And the tablets are cast down. There's a midrash that says that when Moses approached the golden calves, the letters left the tablets, and he was left with just two huge pieces of stone. Then, when God calls him, he's called and he forges a new set of tablets. The Talmud says, and asks the question in Baba Batra, "So what happened to the broken pieces of the tablets?" And it said, the first set of tablets were placed in the ark alongside those that were new. Think of it as a kavana, as an intention. Repentance with our dear ones. When we reconcile and seek forgiveness for hurts done to others, for those where there's been brokenness, and we find wholeness again, we feel incredibly uplifted and renewed. But sometimes in relationships, when someone passes away, it's just not possible to repair the brokenness, that there was never resolution. But think of the image of the ark with the tablets, that we can take the same life, the same ideas, we can build new upon it. The broken pieces will be there, but the new is also present, and both together were symbols of the divine. It's an incredible image to think about. At this moment, we turn to one other symbol of the stone. Those of our national memorials, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the symbol in military cemeteries, especially the Vietnam Memorial, the black granite wall, which is the names of service members who died in Vietnam and Southeast Asia, and those who are unaccounted for, missing in action. This is another dimension of remembrance. The ritual of placing a piece of paper over the names and of making a rubbing with a pencil or crayon. There are stories of over 400,000 possessions, not just items, but each a story and each a meaning, that have been preserved by the National Park Service and the Smithsonian. Medals, boots, notes, flasks, toys, and flags, each a sacred remembrance. The modern stone represents sacrifice, sorrow, and honor. These are qualities we hold in our hearts. When we place the stones on the monuments of family members who have served in the armed forces, still very vivid for me is the image at the beach in Normandy of all the religious symbols laid out row after row, and seeing row after row of crosses, and then a single Jewish star. A stone can be just a stone, can be just a stone. But when we look at it, we can think and make it something much more, that it truly could come alive in our minds and represent more. It's still the stone, but this is the image of the mind, of all of the dimensions of our lives with those that we've loved. Symbol of tradition or faith, those who have restored their lives drop by drop, step by step, those who have healed relationships, who have sacrificed and lived with honor. Ray Bradbury has this amazing quote, which also helps imagine what the stone can be just as a vision and mind in our heart. "Everyone must leave something behind when he dies," my grandfather said. "A child or a book or a painting or a house or a wall built or a pair of shoes or a garden planted. Something your hand touched some way, so your soul has somewhere to go when you die. When people look at that tree or flower you planted, you're there. It doesn't matter what you do," he said, "so long as you change something from the way it was before you touched it into something that's like you after you take your hand away. The difference between one who just cuts lawns and a real gardener is in the touching," he said. "The lawn cutter might just as well have not been there at all. The gardener will be there a lifetime." When we place the stone, when we think of those stones, when we think of the monuments of our dear ones, they could be just a rock, but it's a stone of remembrance. A mere ritual becomes transformed into remembrance of life, love, and legacy. Shana Tova.
Waking in the morning's high. Zecher tzadik livracha. Zecher tzadik livracha. Zecher tzadik livracha. Zecher tzadik livracha.